welcome to our new podcast, Sota Pop. Today we have our main host, Dr. Terrence Brown.
Hello, hello.
And the crowd goes wild. Today we'll be doing some questions for T. Brown, and to let you know why we started this podcast. So let's get into it. First question, why start the podcast? It was your idea first, so we were just wondering why start it.
Okay, well, I would like to say that I'm the mastermind behind the podcast, but really I'm not. Dr. Bostic Brown, we were talking one day and we were talking about exposure for the School of the Arts. And she's like, I was like, well, I don't know how to get our message out there. And she said, you know, you should start a podcast. You know, I bet people would want to hear you talk about your stories. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, well, I don't really think I'm that important. So from there, you guys came on board and that was fantastic. And you took this idea and you moved it to where we are now, and to have this podcast to be able to have an outlet to talk about arts issues, to give people backstories about events that are happening, to even give moments for people to learn and to vent is a good way. So communication is something that's lost in our society, and I think this podcast is a good way to build communicative branches in our community.
We also wanted to, I know we kind of talked about what's it about, but to just go into more detail for that for our listeners, exactly what we want to talk about, and I'm sure after that we'll be talking about what's up and coming, or at least right. What we're talking about.
Right.
Well, just what we're going to talk about today, or just in general?
I guess just in general, like what the podcast would be about. Yeah.
Well, we want to talk about in more in-depth things. Say sometimes whenever we have an event, we have probably about 200 to 250 events that we do each year within the School of the Arts. People go on the website, they look at a little synopsis, and then they're expected to come with all the information in the world about it. And you can go and look at a synopsis before a show on the internet, and that's great. But you never hear anything from the people who are actually on stage or who are behind a photography exhibit or behind a fashion merchandising or a culinary show. You don't hear those people and hear their stories, and also about the process. We often see, it's sort of like that iceberg concept that you see floating around on social media. You get the tip of the iceberg, and that's, you know, the actual performance and success. And then below the iceberg, the surface of the water, is where you see all the hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think if people actually see the work and the research and the study and the amount of creativity that goes into forming an event, then you will gain more respect for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone else, you know, that respect doesn't come easily. So we want to go in depth with those things with Sota Pop. Want to be able to go in depth with the process so people can get a better sense of where creativity comes from and the process to get to a creative result or ending product.
Okay. And so through that, since now our listeners know kind of what we're going for, I know you haven't heard from him yet, but I'm sitting next to our also another producer, Mark.
Yeah. And Mark. The crowd goes wild, Mark.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and so together we have some ideas of what we want to do. So we're just gonna let you know what's up and coming. So we have some fun episodes planned.
Yeah, stay tuned for Halloween. That one's
fun. Halloween.
Mark is going to come in costume for that one. I can't wait to see it. He's going to come with his full Rocky Horror Show costume.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be Frankenfurter.
I don't know about that.
He's going to act out the entire beginning scene of Frankenfurter's entrance.
By himself with no one else. And we're going to video it.
He's playing every character. You should definitely come see the one-man show led by Mark.
Nobody show up, please.
He's going to be the one acting at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So,
if you would like tickets, please go to the School of the Arts website to see Mark alone.
In front of the screen. On October 30th.
Yeah, but Halloween's going to be great. So, I mean, what we're going to try and do, we're going to try and do at least 2 or 3 episodes a month. At least one every other week. We'll have fun ones. We'll have some informative ones. We'll have, you know, just whatever we feel like talking about that week.
Yeah. And we also want to let people know that we're also not just going to focus on UNA as well. We want to reach out to the community. So a lot of our episodes might be involving the community. And we are also talking about, you know, special guests, and so that people can hear from people that have actually gone through the things that we're talking about and have a little bit of knowledge as well, so that you're not just hearing it from us, even though Dr. T. Brown has like a lot of knowledge.
You're going to hear it. No, don't believe that.
You're going to hear from a lot of different people. At least that's what we're hoping. So to tie into that, now we're going to talk a little more about Dr. Terrence Brown. So we want to get deep into that brain of yours. So we want to kind of go into your background so people know you more, so that they can know what to expect in the future, I guess, to know your personality. And where are you from?
Well, back in 1875, just kidding. I was actually born in a small town about 3.5 hours south of here called West Blockton, Alabama. It's off exit 97.
Good old West Blockton.
2059. Yeah, good old West Blockton. And I tell you, even though it was a small town, I learned a lot of valuable lessons living in a small town that I've been able to carry with me through my whole life. And the most important is getting to know people and caring about people. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love data. I love numbers. I love spreadsheets. They can help you make some really informative decisions whenever you're making tough decisions. But at the end of the day, it's about the people. Mm-hmm. And so I did learn that from there. I graduated in a class of 75 people. And I was in the top 10 of my class, and a lot of my classmates, we actually have our 20-year class reunion this in a couple weeks.
Oh, goodness.
No, it's next week, and I won't be able to be there. That's sad. People, West Blockton High School, class of 1998, shout out to you. I won't be able to be there.
Oh, goodness, that's what I was born.
But I will tell you, I did learn a lot of valuable things there. And from that graduating class, I went to Samford University. And I was a bulldog and started off there and actually in instrumental and playing trombone.
Oh, I play baritone. So
you play baritone?
Bluegrass.
You can play the baritone in my office, man.
I also played trombone in sixth grade.
You did? I knew you'd like you, Marcus. Low brass family.
Low brass.
So I did that, and then I.
So does that mean, were you in the band when you were at West Blockton?
Yes, I was. I was a drum major. I was a co-drum major with one of my best friends, Crystal Watford. Now she was majors at that time. And so, Crystal, if you're listening, yes, I am going to pull your dirt up. And she was a percussionist, and we were co-drum majors, and I was in Allstate band as well.
That's awesome.
And that's how I ended up going to Samford. Jarrell Horton, who was one of my best friends, he went to Samford on tuba. And I used to go and visit him a lot. So I went up there and auditioned. And about my second year there, I was singing I was in the choir and had been there and loved it. And I was like, someone said, you should study voice. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. Let's try it. So I did, and I went and studied voice. But I found out that the teacher I wanted to study with, Dr. Sharon Lahan, who is like my second mom, wouldn't take any non-majors. Like, I had to be a major.
Mm-hmm.
So I switched over to do a major. So I did major in trombone and voice. And then after a while, I just couldn't keep up with both. So I still played in the band, and I was in the Sanford Marching Band, but I dropped that major about my junior year and just kept the voice. And then I did education as well, and you know, did music ed, and I finished that in my master's and my doctoral studies. So I went to LSU for that. But I will say that in looking at my life path, I know everyone says well, they have goals and aspirations for their life, and that's good. It's good to have a plan. But for me, I had a plan, but it was a loose plan. The only plan I really had is that I wanted to be happy in the arts. Mm-hmm. That was my only goal. And with that, I will say that, you know, I've had a lot of blessings to be able to go to where I am now. And I'm only successful because I have a fantastic wife and a fantastic son and great friends and a great team in the soda office. And I attribute all my success to the people I surround myself with because they buy into my craziness. And with that craziness, we make some beautiful things and we have some beautiful creative moments. So that gives you a little bit without giving you the whole spiel.
Now, you said you went to LSU. Yes.
I did.
So you love like Louisiana, New Orleans. I know you always talk about like going there. And
that's actually, you know, where Dr. Beebe and I met. Dr. Bostic Brown, they call it Dr. Beebe. But we met in Baton Rouge at LSU. She came in from Virginia, and she did not like me at first. I don't know what there was not to like. And I remember my first day seeing her. She had this wonderful blue dress on. And according to her, the story said, I went to her and said, girl, you're beautiful. That was not the story I remember, but that's the story that everyone seems to remember because of her memory. And her memory tends to be better than mine a lot. So I guess we'll kind of go with that for a little while. But yeah, I met her there. LSU, I say it was a good time in my life. We had our first real collegiate experience there. Learned how to sing opera on main stages. Made a lot of contacts for gigs. And it's a good, like I said, it's a good community. I think all the places that I've been able to live in my life were based off the community. And I realized that any unit can't be its best or can't live up to its full potential without having investment from the community. And I'll say Baton Rouge was a good city for that. Even our church there, First United Methodist, Lamar Drummonds is the director of music and a great friend of ours, and Jason Bowers. And we learned a lot from being in that environment. So yeah, so Baton Rouge holds a very good, very nice place in my heart, in New Orleans as well. Loved it there, and still to this day love both cities. Actually love the state.
Okay, so you're in Louisiana, you're going to LSU. You say you found singing opera. How did you what got you into that? Were you always into opera, or did you find something that kind of drew you in?
Not at all. Actually, I think the most experience I had with singing was singing gospel. And with gospel, mostly it's soprano, alto, tenor. And so the baritones, basses, which I lie in, it didn't happen too often. You just kind of found your way in tenor land, and if you couldn't do it, good luck. But with opera, I came to love it, I would say, really, during my last years at Sanford, my junior and senior years, and then really at LSU because the opera program was so successful. Doug McDonough, John Keen, Eugene Sorotkin, all of them were influential in my operatic career. People who gave me chances like Jerome Shannon and Kyle Marrero from Pensacola Opera and Mobile Opera gave me chances, my first professional opportunities to perform opera. I will say that my wife, she's probably a doubleheader. She can do musical theater and opera. I appreciate musical theater. I love it, but I am not a musical theater performer per se. I can't perform it as well as others. I try. I really try. But with opera, I will tell you, it's seems to be a wheelhouse for me. A lot of the great composers like Giuseppe Verdi, Giacomo Puccini, Richard Strauss, those composers wrote in what I consider a pathos language, a language of love. And from that, that's where my love for the art grew. Mm-hmm. And I love singing Verdi. I love singing new works. I think I sing a lot of new works from my trombone background, because mm-hmm. I can count rhythms like crazy. That's one thing I can do. And with that, I get to do a lot of new works, and I like that. I say opera mostly because people consider opera can be a dead medium. But at UNA, it's not the issue. We have a thriving opera program that grew from 7 people the first day we were there. And there were 3 majors and 4 non-majors. And now we've grown to doing Puccini's La Boheme and Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel. And this season, the Ricky and Gordon opera, which is the first collegiate premiere of the work. So we're really excited about that. So, yeah, I guess you say why opera? It's because I think opera chose me. Mm-hmm. It sought me out, and it gave me an avenue for communication that I've never had before. It allowed me to express myself in a fashion that was not in my normal element, but was the most efficient way of communication for me. And with that, it allowed me to learn about other arts, such as theater and photography and culinary and fashion merchandising and hotel and event management. I learned to appreciate those things because my career is based off something that was uncomfortable for me.
Right. So for everybody who's listening right now, as Dr. Brown said, he didn't like opera very much. He wasn't that interested into it. And then... So he's going to LSU. He's getting his doctorate in education. He finds opera. Opera finds him. That's just kind of something that you have to realize. You may be majoring in something. You may be doing something you like, but you may not have all of it. You know, you may find something you love like after you graduate, and still be able to do it while you're doing what you have. So like he said, he's part of. You know, he's one of the main reasons the opera program here at UNA has grown. And I kind of, that takes me into the next question I kind of want to ask. So you're in Louisiana, you're doing opera, you're going to school for education. What brings you up to Florence, Alabama?
Well, I taught at Dillard University in New Orleans. And after that 1 year, we were going to look for other opportunities for both Dr. Bostic Brown and I to find collegiate teaching experience. Mm-hmm. She was working at an opera company there, Opera Louisiana, and she was singing and doing things, so we decided to make a move. Well, we applied at several places, and we got offers in Virginia and here. So we just waited out, and I thought to myself it was kind of selfish to return to Alabama because she had no idea about living in Alabama or knowing Alabama because she was from Fairfax, which is close, sort of a suburb from D.C. Mm-hmm. And when we did the application, she told me, she said, there is something in your voice when you talk about being at UNA that I love. And this, she's not even seen UNA. she's not even seen Florence, the Shoals at all. And I thought to myself coming in, when I was driving in for my interview, I saw nothing but cornfields, and I thought to myself, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to happen. But then you drive over the bridge, and you drive into Florence, and it's like Shangri-La, and you almost hear music as you come in. Mm-hmm. So when I talked to her, she said, you know, your spirit seems happy here, and I trust your spirit. So this is where we should be. Even though Virginia was closer to her mom and her dad and stuff, so we ended up here, and I'm glad we did. It was the best decision I think that we made for our collective family ever. Mm-hmm. So now being here almost 10 years, we have a dog and a baby to join us, and so I would say that UNA has been great. I guess I answered that question, did I? Sort of in a long way.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. Okay. It's better than absolutely nothing. Which, I mean, that would have been my answer.
So how did you feel? Because you're kind of like the head of School of the Arts. I mean, the title, yeah. So how did you feel when you found that out and, you know, kind of getting that position?
Well, we started working on, you know, SOTA about, I don't know, 2 years ago officially. But then before that, there had been tons of efforts and talks and proposals, I think. Professor Charlton James was one of the ones, and also Dr. David McCullough. And so about 2 years ago, when I had the opportunity to become interim chair of music, I said, you know, we need to have a School of the Arts. And at that time, I didn't know they had started those efforts. So I was like, you know, let's just start something. So myself and Ms. Carol Maynard, and we went around and started looking at other institutions that had sort of collective arts units, and also to find out what was the advantage and disadvantage of doing that. There were a lot of advantages, but one thing I think everyone was concerned with about every unit being sure that they don't lose their individual identity, because that can be lost in a collective setting. However, the concept that we have here in SOTA is that if every unit is strong individually, then the collective unit is going to be stronger. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm looking at terms of the position, serving executive director of School of the Arts, I'm honored to do it. But also I know that, and I told the student leadership group this yesterday, and I consider it very true in any leadership position I'm in, I am a servant of the School of the Arts. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can do initiatives and help lead, but at the end of the day, I am at the service of the students and the faculty and staff of this unit. And if I always keep that in mind, I think we will have success. So, am I perfect? No. Do I make mistakes? Oh, yes. But I try to learn and I try to progress, because I know at the end of the day, there are good, talented, creative, thoughtful people in SOTA who want nothing but its success. So when I think about how I feel or how I initially felt, I was terrified. Mm-hmm. Terrified because I didn't want to let any one of them down. And I still think of that every day before I make any decision. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let the collective down, because they have instilled in me a trust. And I want to be sure that trust is upheld. Some days I won't be successful, but that's okay. I'm just keep trying the next day. So, does that give you something?
Yeah.
Okay.
So trying to, you know, I guess lighten the mood. When we're talking about School of the Arts, just like down the road, what kind of events do we want to do? Because I know we're doing Rocky Horror. If you haven't heard that already, we talked about it earlier.
Yes, Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror. We're doing that October 30th, $5 for students. So you should definitely come by. There's also VIP package.
Yeah,
so.
$20.
Oh, yeah.
You get the toast and the flashlights. And yeah, come get it.
Yeah, and you get
$10 for general.
Yeah, and it's like going to be a lot of fun. You get to come in costume as well. And, you know, that is a School of the Arts thing. And so I was wondering, are we thinking of more kind of events like that? Because I know that some people, some students, you know, want to do more things with the arts, and probably don't, I don't know, it's depending on like what the production is, if they'll go see it or not. And so I know that this is more Halloween centered, and so more people know about Rocky Horror. So are we planning on doing more stuff like this for the students?
Yeah, actually, you know, we were talking with Kayla and Ethan and Norton. We were talking about how to make Norton open to the public and accessible. So we were thinking about doing a Norton and School of the Arts sponsored event. And so I originally wanted to do a haunted house. I always have these big ideas, but in reality, it was going to take a lot of work to get that done in the time frame. So Kayla suggested, say, you know, let's do a viewing of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I said, okay, it's a Halloween thing. It gets Norton open to the public. Mm-hmm. I am game. Let's go. So we pushed it forward. We will have other events that I think the student leadership team is going to come up with some events that open, that link the student body and the community together in terms of community arts and creative events. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that we're doing May 17th is our I2E2 conference, mm-hmm. and it stands for Ignite, Inspire, Educate, and Engage. And what we're looking to do there is to simply tackle social issues within the arts. Yeah. And we want to be sure that with that conference that people realize that accessibility and equity in the arts is an issue. And with that issue, we need to be more proactive in developing methods to open up arts education for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're planning to do with that. And we're opening up. It's open now for proposals to be submitted. December 17th is the cutoff deadline for proposals to be submitted. So mark your calendars. And so I think that's going to really start to reshape our communication about the validity of arts in the community.
Mm-hmm. I know we haven't hit this yet, so I feel like we probably need to address this. What all departments are under School of the Arts? We haven't done that yet.
We should probably talk about that. So we have the Department of Visual Arts and Design, which is our new department that was created this summer. And within that department, you have traditional arts programs, and you know, photography, ceramics, sculpture, digital media, and others. But you also have interior design and architecture, fashion merchandising and design, culinary arts management, hotel and event management. Then you also have the Department of Music, which has performance and education tracks and any instrument that you can think of, mm-hmm. pretty much. And then we also have the theater program, which is rapidly growing at a phenomenal rate. So we're very proud of that. And then we have Cinematic Arts, which is just changed their name recently. And they're in the Department of Communications. Also, the theater program is in the Department of Entertainment Industry. But we have those programs that are part of the School of the Arts. And the theater program and Cinematic Arts are starting to partner with a lot of ventures. And we hope to have them do a lot more things in the future.
And there is a Vimeo video of UNA Cinematic Arts.
Yes, it is.
And it is incredible. So if you want to check that out, it is so good. I promise you, you'll see all the talent that we have at UNA.
Yeah.
Also, I know we're going to talk about it later, but UNA Theater is also doing a production of Macbeth.
Yes, if you're in the theater, don't say it. We don't want it to burn down.
Do not.
No.
That is against the rules.
Yes, exactly.
You will be yelled at.
You shall call it the Scottish play.
Yes, and the Scotsman, and yeah.
I learned that the hard way, by the way.
Yeah, and if you do that, you will be pushed out the door and made to do the kind of the way to relieve the curse from the theater. So please,
correct.
Please don't say it in the theater. Thank you. We also want to go back to you, Dr. Brown.
Yes.
And so we've talked about why you got into opera and why, you know, all this stuff. And so we want to know what all, like, opera productions have you been in? I know there's a lot.
Gosh.
So are you still involved in it? Or do you still go down and, like...
Yes, yes, yes. I always have to practice my craft.
Mm-hmm.
I can practice as much as I can. But with doing that, as far as conducting and performing, it allows me to be conscientious of the needs of those involved in the School of the Arts. Dr. Beebe and I are getting to perform more regularly together in oratorio, symphony stuff, and opera. So yes, I do. I remain active in conducting and singing.
And if you visit our office down on the west, is it Tom Gibb?
Tom Bigby.
I always get that wrong. If you come 28
West Tom Bigby.
Yes. If you come down and visit, there is a great possibility you'll be able to hear him practice because he does that a lot. And he's amazing. It's so soothing. So.
And even if he's not here, I mean, his walls are completely filled with posters of productions he's helped with or been part of.
And his office is really nice, so.
You can just come out and hang out.
Just come anyway.
Yeah, just come down.
Oh, no, you should definitely come. We have candy.
We also, and also you get to see Gallery at 126, which is next door.
Oh, yeah.
And we sell tickets for events there, and we will have our new professional gallery opening it up with Professor Chung Yao Chen, who is our head of our university galleries. Mm-hmm. And that should be up and running by... in the next month or two, we should have it going.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, it'll be showcasing a lot of UNA art as well, right?
Yeah, community and UNA. It will be a wonderful space.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to come and buy tickets for Rocky Horror or Macbeth, it'll be in there in the gallery. And when you're done, like, getting your tickets...
Yeah.
You can go in there and look at all the art. So
you can. And we have some other things that are coming up, too, I've thought about. Shoal Symphony at UNA are doing their Symphony Under the Rock concert that's coming up this weekend. Is that correct?
I believe so. I think it's this weekend.
And then we also have The House Without a Christmas Tree. UNA bands are competing right now. We have gallery displays going on. We have our interior... our fashion merchandising and design students are on a field trip now. We got a lot of things going, a lot of activity. So you can check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and see what we're doing.
On to the Symphony Under the Rock. That is October 14th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. if I'm correct. The tickets are at shoalsymphony.una.edu. So get your tickets because it's going to be amazing.
Those of you who have had him as a teacher or know about him, Dr. Black is the president of the Shoal Symphony. He likes to let that be known. Go support him and go see the show and go support the arts.
Yeah, he's a great leader who is an instructor in the College of Business, but has a great passion for the arts, and mm-hmm. we're very thankful to have him as the president.
Yeah, and we're really excited to do this podcast as well, just to point out, because for those that are, you know, undecided, or you do have a different major, but you do want to be involved in the arts, we want to show you that, like, hey, it's okay. Like, it's fine to be in the arts, because I know from personal reasons that, you know, some people like to say that, oh, there's no job in the arts, and there's no this, and you shouldn't go down that path. You should stay safe. But if you love the arts and that's a passion of yours, go for it. Go for it. Because... You're gonna appreciate every day that you get to do that. So we do want to do this for that reason as well, is so that you can see what's going on in the arts and be involved as well. So we can let you know, like, auditions or stuff like that, or correct. Whenever you want to be involved and how to get involved in the arts, because it's very important.
Or even like if you're a high school student who's looking for maybe a college to go to, and you're interested in the arts, I mean, this could be a determining point for you. Like, what other school has an arts podcast?
Good point.
I haven't heard any.
And they know, because they've researched a lot.
Yes. And also, I mean, the arts program here is top notch. So you should definitely think about UNA, because it is... but we really do appreciate the listeners that are listening.
That's true.
Because without you, we would be talking to ourselves, basically.
We would, and I think that would be very boring. I've had a conversation with myself before. It's not enjoyable. I'm really not that interesting of a person.
Yeah, I understand that, because I talk to myself all the time, and yeah, it's not fun without an audience.
Yeah, especially like when you're talking to yourself and you feel like somebody's there, but nobody's really there. So you feel like you're going crazy.
You know, that was very deep, Mark. I appreciate that.
Mark got really deep.
Just a weird fact about myself. Sometimes that happens.
So we said it at the beginning that the name of the podcast is Soda Pop.
And that's S-O-T-A.
Pop.
Yes, correct.
So just the reason behind the name, Mark, you can talk about that.
I just came up with it. So yeah. It just kind of, so we were doing all sorts of research trying to find, you know, podcasts of the arts, trying to see what they were named, and really I couldn't find anything off of that. I couldn't find any scheme that they were using or like what kind of inspired them. So I mean, we were just sitting down one day and it just came into my head, like Soda Pop, because I mean honestly we were looking at like soda type puns.
Yeah, and we at the School of the Arts, we are very punny.
we love puns. So
we have t-shirts that are soda bottles.
You can purchase soda. Them, by the way.
Yes, you can.
Just come by 128 West Tom Bigby and talk to the wonderful Monica Collier, and she can help you purchase a Soda Pop t-shirt.
She has been such an amazing part of this.
Yes, we need to thank her for that. She has been wonderful.
She's just as passionate about this as we are. Mm. And, you know, we're the ones recording, but she's done a lot behind it. So it's been great to have her involved,
And she
too.
Has so much passion for this project. And just of how, you know, how she wants this to go and everything. She's just been so involved in this. And so we want to thank you, Monica, because you are amazing.
I'm sure she can hear us. I mean, we're not the quietest people, and we're in the office, so maybe she can hear us through the walls. I'm pretty sure Vanessa can.
Yeah.
And if you visit the offices in the back, like storage closet,
you can see where we film.
You can come see and come visit. And if you think you want to be a guest on the show, send us an email at arts@una.edu. It should be arts@una.edu. If not, send me an email, tbrown5@una.edu. And if you have a topic you want to us to talk about, or if you want to come and be a guest on Soda Pop, don't be afraid to do so. We're always looking for,
definitely,
like we mentioned earlier, we want to be sure that we get a well-rounded base of people to talk to and to interview and to discuss current issues.
Mm-hmm. So we really, really do want your input. And so as well, like I know T. Brown talked about it. I don't know why I said D. Anyways, we do want to know, like, what would you like to hear as students of UNA, whether you're in the arts or you're not? Because, you know, we like to know all the opinions of everyone just to see, you know, what you're thinking, what you want to hear. Because we'd like to address those, so.
Yeah, like she's saying, this is the School of the Arts podcast, but it doesn't have to only be about the arts. So if you wanna start hearing about things, you know, that maybe you don't know where to find, just, you know, you can let us know and we'll include it in here. We can have from any college, any department, in our college, at least.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll be happy to let you know what you can't find. I'm sure we can find it somewhere.
We'll do the research.
We'll do it.
So I guess we...
I think that's all we have for
wrapping up for today.
So thank you guys for listening. We really enjoy filming this. It's taken a good amount of time for us to get prepared for this. So it's nice to actually get the first episode up and running.
Yeah.
So again, we are the School of the Arts, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green, hosted by Dr. Terrence Brown. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.